Tonight is Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And we are going to read verses 9 through 11. So Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11. And then we will consider, we will read Lord's Day 46 of the Heidelberg Catechism. So if you are there, please stand to hear the reading of God's word. Matthew 7, verses 9 through 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Thus far the reading of God's word. You may be seated. And then Lord's Day 46 in your bulletins. Let me just read the questions and answers for you. 130. Why has Christ commanded us to address God as our Father? Answer: to awaken in us at the very beginning of our prayer what should be basic to our prayer, a childlike reverence and trust that through Christ God has become our Father, and will much less refuse to give us what we ask in faith than will our parents refuse us the things of this life. Why the words "who is in heaven"? These words teach us not to think of God's heavenly majesty in an earthly way, and to expect from his almighty power everything needed for body and soul. So, dear congregation of the Lord, if we're to look around this world today, and even in the ancient times, and even in philosophy, or even in modern religion, we could say that there are two ways that you could understand God without the scriptures. The first one is known as pantheism. Pantheism: everything is God. Animals, the universe, the world, rocks, people, everything God. The second one is most recently has been called deism, in which God is so far away from us, so disinterested from us, that he is as good as an absent father. He conceived you, but then he abandoned you. That's it. In pantheism, prayer means nothing more than wishing that everything will be okay. But in the end, it's all up to you. You are the one who define your reality, because you are kind of God at the same time. In the second one, prayer makes no sense, because who in their right mind is going to talk to a father who abandoned you anyway? God is not interested in you, so why praying? And contrary to these two options, then, we have scriptures. And the scriptures describe a very different reality and a very different option. Because in Jesus Christ, God has come to become our Father. This relationship is more intimate and more beautiful. So tonight we come to examine the introduction to the Lord's Prayer, and we will do it under the title, How to Pray. And we will see it in two parts: by calling upon God as our Father, and second, by having the right understanding about God. So by calling upon God as our Father, and second, by having the right understanding about God. So let's see the first part, calling upon God as Father. Now, in the Lord's Prayer, as we read 2 weeks ago, the Lord Jesus Christ instructs his disciples how to pray. And he says, open your prayer as follows: Our Father who is in heaven. Now, let's take just the first part, Our Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is not recommending this. He's not saying, if you feel like it. He is commanding us to pray using the name Father. There is a big difference there. It's a command. But as soon as we try to understand this concept, we realize that there are many problems that arise in our hearts. First of all, there are people in today's world and in the ancient world as well who have all kinds of problems by using the title Father for God. How can I call God my father? My father was terrible. I had a terrible experience with my father, my earthly father. How can I call God my father? In many cases, the whole concept of father is entirely distorted in our minds, in our hearts, in our experience. In fact, I know personally good brothers and sisters who grew up under very abusive fathers. And I remember clearly a dear sister of ours in Christ whose father used to beat her up with an iron cord. And he used to beat her up until her skin was swollen, started to burst open, and she was bleeding all over the place for no reason. Simply because he was having a bad day. And I know also a good brother whose father spent all his salary every 15 days on alcohol. So every single time that he was at home, the father was drunk. And also I have met people whose fathers were never present at home. Father was meaning nothing to them because they didn't show up at all and never cared for them. So for those who have been hurt, for those whose hearts are aching because of their experience with their earthly fathers, trying to understand Jesus' command is really hard. However, as believers, we need to see God and our relationship with Him not based in our good or bad experiences with our parents, but according to Scriptures. And according to Scriptures, contrary to whatever our experience was with our earthly fathers, God is a good father. God is a good God. In fact, verse 7 in our text tonight declares, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give you good things to those who ask Him? Meaning, God is good. He gives good things to His children. Moreover, Scriptures are filled with references about the character of God, who He is, how He acts, what is it that He reveals Himself to be. So according to 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, God is love. That's something that characterizes Him. That is, His essence is love. One of His characteristics. And according to Deuteronomy 23 verse 5, the Lord God would not allow Balaam to curse His people because He loves His people. So He stops Balaam from cursing and instead He moves him to bless them. And in 1 Chronicles 16:34, we learn that the Lord, He is good. He is good. In fact, David says His steadfast love, this never-ending, never-breaking up, unchangeable love endures forever. And Psalm 100 verse 5 repeats this idea. For the Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. So here's the thing. You may have had very bad experiences with our early fathers. And we ourselves maybe had a really, really bad experience. Maybe ourselves as parents failed miserably in many, many ways. But our Heavenly Father will never fail us, will never fail our children. Because He is good, loving, merciful, trustworthy. His promises are always true. In simple terms, we will fail. We shouldn't expect that God fail us. We are faithless. He's always faithful. And because of this, we shouldn't avoid to use the name Father for God. He has revealed Himself in Jesus Christ as our Father, and he is commanding us now to use that name. Therefore, we should correct our minds with the scriptures, knowing that our bad experiences will never be true for God in heaven. This scriptural way of addressing God in prayer is also a tremendous privilege and comfort for God's people. Contrary to deism that affirms that just God is a guy who just left, contrary to that, the scriptures reminds us, Father in heaven, my Father, your Father in heaven, is not far removed from us. He's not disinterested from my concerns, my tribulations, what I am going through right now. He's not a God that doesn't care about me. He's not a God that doesn't care about his people. Rather, the reality is that we can call God our Father knowing that he listens, that he's close to us, and that he loves to hear our prayers. And in revealing to us this name through which we can address him, namely our Father, he has told us something very personally, very seriously, that defines our relationship with him. That is, we are children of God in Jesus Christ. Of course, we don't mean by that we are gods or that we will become gods. We are sons in the Son of God, sons in Jesus Christ. We have been adopted in Jesus Christ to become children of God. But this doesn't diminish still the idea that an adopted son is still a child of the Father in Jesus Christ. That we can come to him with all confidence, with all expectation, with our extended hands, seeking from him everything that we need. And that is why the Heidelberg mentions that we can call God our Father with a childlike reverence and trust. It is confidence that God our Father will give us the good things that we need. The image, if you want to picture one, is that of a little child holding the hand of his father as they walk through the city. And as they walk through the city, think Chicago, think Denver, whatever, the little child crosses through those different crosses and streets. Sometimes you look ahead of you and there are those big, dark alleys that are scary. And people don't dare to cross them even in the day, even in daylight. At other times, the crossings and the paths are pleasant. It's just this beautiful park and the views are pleasant and beautiful. But all the time, at all times, this little one that has been holding dad's hand has no reason to doubt his father. He knows my dad is going to protect me. This is how praying to God our Father needs to be seen by us. It is coming to God, trusting that God is good, knowing that if we are in his hands, he will sustain us, no matter how dark the alley looks like, no matter how scary the road may be, no matter how difficult our lives may be at times, we know our Father who is in heaven is with us. He is holding my hand. He is sustaining me. He will not let go. We belong to him. Now also, we need to learn something else, congregation, tonight. And that is that our prayers to God need to be confident prayers. See, here's the thing. If God is our Father, and if he is a good Father, as we have seen before, then it follows that we are not to doubt about the things that we ask of him. If we come to him and we repent because we have sinned, then we are not to doubt that he is going to forgive us, for example. If we are in dire need, if we are suffering, we are come to him. We are to come to him in prayer, calling upon him as our Father who is in heaven, and that and with the confidence that he will answer our prayers accordingly. This means, congregation, that the main way in we should address the Lord God in our prayers is as Heavenly Father. Indeed, this is the greatest privilege that we come to enjoy and we come to see in a better and brighter light in Jesus Christ. Because for the Old Testament, the Lord reveals to Israel in many different ways. He is Elohim, God the Creator. He is also Yahweh or Yahweh, the one who is always the same. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. Never changing, self-subsistent. He is Adonai, the God Most High, and so on. Throughout all the Old Testament, you have all of these names that reveal something about God. But that God is our Father in Jesus Christ. That is a revelation of God that has been given to us in a new light, like never before. Not only He is the unchanging, faithful God, but also my Father. Not only He is God the Most High, but also the God who has adopted me in Jesus Christ. Not only is He the Creator, but He is also my Father. Not only He owns the park, but I can go and ask Him to go and play in the park whenever I want. This is the comfort that Jesus is teaching us, congregation. That God is our Father in Jesus Christ. Not a lousy father, not a mean father, not an evil one or an abusive one that rejoices in doing evil things to us. No, a good, loving, merciful, kind, generous, truthful, faithful, a father that has adopted us in His Son. Now, having said that, let's go to the second point, the right understanding about God. And the second part of the introduction to the Lord's Prayer reads this, or as follows: Our Father in heaven, or who is in heaven. And this too has a very good reason to be here. It is very easy, is it not, for us human beings to have the wrong idea about who the Lord our God is. Perhaps the greatest example of this is the episode of the golden calf. And long after the Lord has delivered Israel with an outstretched arm and a mighty hand, the people of Israel forgot who the Lord is. And they decide to make an idol according to the image that they have seen in Egypt. And this is the problem that we face ourselves today, even in our culture as well. Because idolatry is not only making idols or trying to make an image about God, as you know already, it's also having the wrong idea in our hearts, in our minds about God, or misrepresenting who God is. And believe it or not, whether we like it or not, whether we realize of it or not, we do have wrong ideas about God. We tend to think about God's glory and God's majesty in earthly ways. The most extreme example of that is today having around us denominations who will not want to pray to God using the title Father. The reason for that is, well, calling God Father is not inclusive language. So they will use any title: Creator, Redeemer, Lover of Mankind, never Father. I've seen, in fact, people saying Our Mother, but that's a clear violation of Scriptures. But it's very easy, is it not, to look around us, point fingers at those who are not doing right, and yet forget that we too need to be reminded. We too need to be having the right understanding of God. Because our temptation as well is to be led by culture, whether we like it or not, whether we realize that we are doing it or not. And we do it in a different way. We like to make God a little bit too much like ourselves. Influenced by our democratic societies, influenced by our consumerist thinking, and sometimes, many times, that informs the way we approach God in prayer. We come to Him without any reverence. We are thinking that He is customer service. So we don't have any honor, reverence, or respect towards God. And this kind of like customer service You are there for me to serve my purposes, kind of idea, is something that, again, is not new either. Listen to Malachi 1:6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If I then, I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name. See, here's what we learn. We need to address our Heavenly Father in a proper way. We need to remember that we are talking to God Himself, that He is different than us. He's not a pal. He's not your bro. He's not the skinny one who is over there. Someone who we can use casual words with. This is why the phrase "who is in heaven" serves as a good corrective to our hearts, congregation. It reminds us that when we enter in prayer, we are entering into the throne room of God. And especially, boys and girls, when we are praying here during our worship service, we need to think and remind ourselves that we are before the presence of God Himself. As you can see then, the title Father actually is very helpful to us. It reminds us the right relationship that we have with God. It's not cold, it's not distance, it's not entirely of or marked by fear, unsound fear, I mean by that. No, a relationship with God is a close relationship, is love in Jesus Christ. Yet at the same time, it's a relationship that demands respect, the right understanding about who God is. It combines these two very difficult things to combine, does it not? Love and respect. Love and honor. Devotion and honor. Honor to Him who has rescued us. Love to the one who gave Himself for us. It is both things at the same time. To put it simply, we should not be afraid of God that we never come to Him in prayer because we are so afraid of Him. On the other hand, we should never feel that we are so familiar with Him that we simply get comfortable and forget about the fact that we need to show awe before His presence. We need then to demonstrate love towards God that is marked by respect and honor. We are to trust in Him, abandoning ourselves to Him with a childlike confidence, yet at the same time without abusing our position as children of God. There is a video the other day on the internet that I saw. It was a mom, and she said, I started as mother, went down as mom, went down to ma, and now I'm bra. We shouldn't feel like that's the case with God. And in having the right perspective about God, congregation, we also avoid the other big problem that we have in religion, and that is making everything God. So much so that God becomes one with us, or God becomes the nation, or nature, or the whole of creation. This too is something that having the right perspective helps us with. We pray to our Father who is in heaven, whose kingdom is not of this world, and whose goals don't look often as we picture them. And in putting the right perspective in mind, that also corrects the way we come with our petitions. We are to ask everything that we need in body, for body and soul. This is, we are to ask for our basic needs. The Lord Jesus Christ, in fact, calms our anxious hearts regarding that in Matthew 6, 25 and 26. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? See, this is the care that your heavenly Father has for you, congregation. He cares in His providence for the whole of creation in wonderful ways. And we can be certain that if he cares for creation in such a way, he will care for us in even a more special way because we belong to him. So we don't sin when we pray to our Father in heaven for his provisions. It's not wrong. I just had to say that to a dear brother in Christ. Yes, it's okay to say, Lord, we are in a dire need. Provide us with money, please. That's not a sin. You need it. And he knows you do. So ask him. We don't sin when we ask him to provide us with a job. We don't. We need it. He will provide us. When we ask him that he meets our needs. We don't sin when we pray to him that he heals us. Sometimes through the use of medicine, sometimes through immediate, that is, in a miraculous way. We don't sin when we ask that. We don't sin when we ask that he has mercy on those who are suffering and he takes them in his hands like eagle's wings to comfort them. And we don't sin when we see brothers and sisters who are suffering with a terminally ill sickness and we ask God, have mercy on them. Take them with you. That's not a sin. Which takes me to the following idea. Have you realized that we Reformed people are hesitant in our prayers? Our prayers oftentimes are marked by doubt, but not by a childlike trust in our Heavenly Father. We are too quick to say, maybe, if it is your will. And I believe Sinclair Ferguson is right in this criticism. Our Pentecostal brothers and sisters, says he, have much to teach you and us about prayer with confidence. When they pray, says Sinclair, they really mean what they pray. And that's why they see more answers to their prayers. And we ought to learn from that. Now, that makes our reform nerves tingle a little bit, doesn't it? Isn't that presumptuous? Why should we pray in that way? Actually, it's not. If we are praying according to God's will, why should we get nervous? This is what a childlike faith means. It means praying to God, knowing what God has given to us, knowing what we need to ask from him, and knowing that he will give it to us in faith. And we pray to him precisely because we belong to him in Jesus Christ. Think about the passage that we read tonight again. If our parents who are evil give us good things, how much more our Heavenly Father? This is the great comfort of the gospel, congregation. The Lord Jesus Christ has acquired you by his sacrifice, so you can become children of God. And that, not to shoo you away. That, to give you the right, shorter catechism, to be counted among his people, so you can have the rights of children of God. To ask according to his will, because he is a good God who loves you and rejoices in giving you good things. So tonight, congregation, this is what we need to remember, that we can come to him in confidence, asking him for what we need, knowing that in the Spirit, he will give us in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the confidence we have in Jesus Christ. Our prayers don't fall to the ground, and our petitions are not just ignored. Yeah, Lord, we do, and we all are familiar with the fact that many times our prayers are not answered. But maybe that's from our perspective, because you always listen, you always provide for us, you always answer to our prayers. So help us to align our hearts to you. Help us to pray according to your will. Fill us with your Spirit so we may know what to pray. Remind us of your word, so we may be guided by it. And in all things, may we be provided by you in body and in soul and all for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.